Our scripture reading is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, beginning from verse 7 through 11. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For the sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so that somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. My name has already been told by my name, Jesse Kamau, and I'm with my wife, Alice Njoki Kamau, if you just say hello. We both have come from Kenya in East Africa, where we live and where we are returning soon after this. And I have been a church minister, well, not long, but nearly 50 years now. And I met the Lord Jesus Christ when Bill Graham came to preach in Kenya, year 1960. And I was touched by the message that came along, and I was moved to the Lord. And it's like he put me in a school when he received me and has been teaching me to know God, to know him and to know him well, to the point that I can also yield myself and pour my life to him in response. And I thank God for caring for me and giving me a testimony so that the knowledge I have for him is experiential, both revelational and experiential. Not just book knowledge, but having met Jesus Christ and able to also pour my life to him as I worship him. We are happy to be here and to have to witness among in your midst. I want to bring greetings from Kenya, from the Presbyterian families. When they knew that we were coming this way, they said, to bring their love to you. During this season, after Thanksgiving, now heading on to the Advent season, it's good if we do recognize Jesus Christ closely so that we move from Jesus in the book to Jesus who is real in our lives. During just about to enter the Advent season, we are reminded when God visited the world dramatically in the person of Christ, his Son. Jesus came to bring spiritual revolution and to dispel darkness of death when he came. Long ago, about 700 700 BC, Prophet Isaiah received the revelation that God was going to send his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. As we read in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. In hearing that, Isaiah responded in saying this: "Then, if that's the case, people who have been walking in darkness will see great light." If Jesus is coming the way it has been said, he is going to bring a lot of light. "And those living in the land of shadow of death have a light dawning into their atmosphere." That is, if what God is saying is real. Not only did he talk like he was, actually he was confirming. He looked at this and therefore says, since it is God who has said it early in advance, for me, Isaiah, I consider it done. And you can see this because the same book, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, instead of 700 years before Christ, waiting for Christ to come, since God has promised that his son is going to come, for Isaiah, it was done. He writes, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." That's a long anticipation of him who is coming. When we look at Christ the King, we see the unfolding and revealed glory of Christ. That is, if we look. If you don't, you don't see. If you look, then you notice. Prophet Isaiah in BC had this vision. So, that was a long time ago. You and I, we are in AD, Anno Domini, the years of our Lord. Not only are they talking about he will come, he came. He came, actually, he came. And Jesus is no longer just a story in the book. He is real. He has done great work and witness to the point that those who have met him can say, "Hallelujah, what a savior." Not because of the book, because he has touched their lives. Reality of Christ is conceivable and can only be realized and owned so that it becomes yours when you and I turn to him with a searching heart and a receptive faith. And here we have a man who was a religious man called Paul, who he grew in the traditions where there was a religion that was almost automatic. And in his struggles, this religion did not help him much. However, whatever he had gained Jewish traditions, it revealed that all efforts that he had taken did not take him far, and they were all futile. And scripture lesson that we have just read, Philippians 3, 7, Paul is saying, "I've been looking, searching, because there is a spiritual instinct that is pulling me there without getting it." And so he says, verse 7, "Whatever profit I had made in my religious struggles, seeking righteousness, I consider it all useless, worthless." And in a scripture written here, it says, "rubbish." Then he says that he has four steps to discover who Jesus Christ is. Verse 8, He says that there was the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, my Lord. Now, I want you to note these four steps. One, he, throwing away all the traditional achievements, the religious struggle, he wants to begin again. Now he begins by knowing Christ as his Lord. Verse 8, that I may gain him. Some versions say that I may win him. It's like you are in a competition and then after struggle, you win him. Or if you are in a market and you are selling your wealth, you gain, that I may gain him. And then verse 9 says, that I may, after gaining him, I may be found in him. And then verse 10 says, being in him, that I may become like him. And that's not cheap religion. You are not hanging there. You are not just a church goer. You go on the staircase, level 1, level 2, level 3, on and on and on and on, ascending. Or if you're going down, you go level 1, level 2, you go down there. Not hanging there, but coming in to belong. To know him. To gain him. Be found in him. And become like him. No wonder that the disciples of Jesus Christ are called followers. The Greek says mathetes. They are followers. They are imitators. And you can only become one when you are a true disciple following the master, the rabbi. There are quite a number of people who have heard about God and about Jesus Christ. They have the knowledge of the book, but they have not come to the experience of knowing Christ intimately to the point that they can now relate themselves with him and develop a testimony or even something that will make you, hallelujah, what a savior, after he has rescued you, after he has touched you, after he has transformed you, after he has connected you with God, after you have moved from darkness to be with God, hallelujah, what a savior, that I now belong, interrelated with God, engrafted into Christ with God in his kingdom. Because I've gone these steps, I want to know Jesus. And this is why I feel like I'm in a school even now. I want to know more about Jesus, more about him. I want to keep on gaining him. And I want to be found in him. How can I be a minister of the gospel if I'm not in Jesus Christ? How can I bring other people to Christ if I am not there and well-rooted, belonging, interrelated, fixed, connected, and growing, as God intended? Because you see, why did God bring his son into the world? Not to hang there, not to be a spectacle that people just watch him, that people may come and yield themselves in totality, willingly, sincerely, pour their lives and make a beginning to this Savior that God sent when he made a revolutionary intervention to bring salvation. Then you can say, when it is done, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I mentioned earlier that we need to look at the mysteries of the Lordship of Jesus in our lives. Paul the Apostle, to the Gentiles and to other people, he talked about the glorious riches of this mystery, which he said is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And indeed, this is a message we need to echo and re-echo in the church. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this is how we are surviving in Africa. Africa is a center of many activities and many experiences. Sometimes Christianity can be real rough. It can be even dangerous for you to be a Christian. But the moment you are connected with Christ, he generates power. You become so vigorous. And then you have that which comes from God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Even before we go to heaven, his glory is reflected in our faces. And then, even in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul was wishing that his listeners or people who came to become Christians, that they would have full understanding in order that they may know the mysteries of God, namely Christ, in him, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And you find that the truth about God in Christ is unfolding every day, coming, making you grow in Christ. The story about the love of God is exhibited and demonstrated in Jesus Christ, who became real in our lives. But unfortunately, there are even some believers who are hanging there, and the gospel and the story about Jesus Christ is looking so casual, so ordinary, it doesn't matter. It has no weight. You can easily substitute or even turn it. You can take this or not take it because it's not important. It is not a priority like God would have it be. It's even not important. And so you find Christians who even drop their faith for other better things according to their opinions. Yet the mysteries of Christ are being revealed to those who are searching. When the truth about Jesus Christ, our Savior of the world, is revealed to people, then you find that he is so attractive. Jesus is so attractive. Jesus, is irresistible. He is irresistible. He will attract you. You know, it's like a magnet. However, he doesn't pull you because faith in Christ must not be, it is not like hypnosis. It's not going to be just so automatic. There has to be your initiative in coming to believe. And Jesus said this, and John recorded in John chapter 12, verse 32. Jesus said, "But when or if I am lifted up from the earth, I shall draw all men and women to myself." That is, when Christ is lifted above all, then he will lift us. Have you seen people who have a balloon? When it goes up, they go up with it. And they fly, you know, as long as it goes high. Jesus is going to do more than that. Because if you lift him, he will lift you. Lift you in knowledge. Lift you in grace. Lift you in peace. And keep you going and going. And no wonder people can remain there flat, while Jesus is able to lift them, their understanding, their knowledge, their relationship with God. When Christ is lifted, not only is he going to put us in the space above here, he will put us in a level where, while we are here on earth, we'll be able to interrelate with God and give us a vision that we can be able to see God and draw closer. And when time is over, he will lift us into heaven. People who have lifted Jesus Christ above their heads are living a life that is smooth, smart, neat, good, peace-giving, life that is glorious. transformed life. And I want to be a Christian. I want Lydia to have Jesus Christ. When I say the Lord's Prayer, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come. Mine go, your kingdom come. May thy will be done. And I say that seriously, sincerely. Come life, come death. That is it. Because Jesus Christ is a king. God brought, and in him we have new life. If you don't do that, if I don't do that, the truth about God will be suppressed. Like it's happening here and there. The truth about God is going to be suppressed. And then Christ is not a priority. And sometimes people are so driven by what they have and what they know. There are people who are carried away by what they own, that you are possessed by what you have or what you want to get. And sometimes you have to divorce these things for the sake of Christ, like Paul did, looking at all things as rubbish, so that the priority is to have Christ, then you can have all. Losing all, then to gain Christ, and in him, you gain all. In particular, your relationship with God. So question is, for me and for you, is Christ king in your heart? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What do you want, Lord? Where do you want me to be? What do you want? What kind of person do you want to be? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Because you don't have to want to have a king, Christ king, without a kingdom. Where? Not in America. In your heart, in my life. Jesus is king in my life before he goes out to other people. I recognize, and unless you make him, what did you sing? Crown him with many. If you don't, you haven't. If he isn't, he isn't. Until you, in your own life, you make him a king. And then from there, it can be reflected by the kind of life you live. How can you dethrone one whom God has raised and exalted high, that above all names, Christ's name will be high up there? Is Christ up in your life or down? Jesus, in John 12:32, he said, when I'm lifted up, then you'll be able to discover the hiddenness of Christ. And then in discovering Christ, you discover yourself. God has, as Paul has put it in Philippians 2:9-11, if I now may quote this as we come to the end, Philippians 2:9-11, therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place, who? Jesus. That the name that, and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow, and heaven and earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And I want it to begin in my heart. I would like it to begin in a Presbyterian family. So that when we say, hallelujah, what a savior. It's not just Christ in a book, Christ in my heart, Christ in my life. And I'm beginning to feel him change my life. Colossians 2:6-7. Colossians 2:2-7. This. So then, just as you received Jesus Christ, assumed that you did, so then if you received Jesus Christ, if you received Jesus Christ as Lord, how did you receive him? As Lord, as King, continue in him. Don't begin and stop. Continue in him, to live in him. Verse 7, and be rooted, don't hang there, be rooted and built up in him. And as you are there, then you'll be strengthened in faith, as you were taught. Then we can say, this is true Christianity. We're not just hanging there. We have him, we are in him, becoming like him, and now rooted. You cannot be uprooted by any circumstance or any experience, but rooted in him. He is God in our lives. And Paul, writing to the Corinthians, you know, okay, before I say this, I want to say something that you English people say, that beauty is in the eyes of beholder. I don't know what it means to you, like it does mean African translating English to mean whatever. The beauty is in the eyes of beholder. Who is Christ to you? Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks to God for his indescribable gift to you. Indescribable. Take your dictionary. Look for words to describe who Christ is. Sometimes be your description. Because it depends on how you feel when the king is on the throne, when he left you in a universe of spirit, and God is working in you. And I'm not being emotional. I am talking about the reality of God as it has been authored by him. What indescribable gift God has given to you and to me, so that then you can legitimately say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And I finish with this. If you listen to me, members of the choir, as I say hallelujah, what a savior. I, in blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I, in my Savior, am happy and blessed. Then watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. His story is my story. His story is my story. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And I appreciate that since the Lord saved me year 1960 and I became a minister, like I'm saying, after ordination, I've been there for that long, I want to stay connected so that he will be able to charge me and I'll be able to sing for him and to tell others who Christ is, Christ the King, the Savior, and to encourage Christians, keep on keeping on trusting. May the Lord God give you a good day and a good pilgrimage as we journey on and on and on. May God bless this congregation. I appreciate that you opened your doors for us to join you and to share this knowledge. We will know it, but you see, this knowledge about God has to circulate where we are as we say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Let's have a short prayer. Let's have a short prayer. Lord, our Father, we thank you that you can come so low that human beings can be able to comprehend you in that degree of understanding. Thank you for the divine intervention in our lives. Thank you for attracting us to come to your glory and to realize your lordship and kingship in our lives. Lord, we don't want to be found talking and singing only. we mean it. The church, your church, you are Christ the King in our hearts. Glory and honor be to you, God our God, both now and days to come, forever and ever. Amen. Have it all and have it real. Jesus Christ, the King, in our hearts. God bless you.